Hallelujah. Ain't God good to us? Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful spirit of God we feel in this house. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm not surprised because there has been great prayer going on all week long in this place. Amen. Powerful, powerful prayer. People touching God day and night. Amen. What makes me happy is we are fulfilling the word of God when he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen. I thank the Lord for all the prayers that I get to pray at my own house and my truck and wherever I'm at. Amen. But I love it when I can walk into his house. Amen. And call on that name that is above every name. Amen. And that extra special touch from God comes. Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, what do y'all think about this adult Sunday school? Is it not just unbelievable? Praise God. The Lord is the one that told me to do that. Amen. So I was hoping you'd clap. That's how I know you're in alignment with the Spirit of God. Amen. Think about more word, more knowledge. Amen. I remember Brother Mayo saying that the people that witnessed to him or was talking to him, he said they were like theologians. It's like they knew the whole Bible. And he said, I didn't realize they'd only been in church a few months. Amen. They were just hungry for the word. And, amen. Begin to tell people, our world don't know anything about the word. Amen. They may have a few ideas and maybe a few things that people have told them, but really, they don't know God's word. And I tell you what's impactful is when they see people that do know God's word and are not ashamed to tell it, not embarrassed, and amen, not confused, but they know it, willing to tell it. Amen. Praise God. It's so good to have everyone here. Amen. Don't forget, we got a bake sale. I guess it's already going on after church. Also, buy all that stuff up. I think it's for the girls' trip to Esther, I believe. So anyway, pray for the travelers today. We got so many people out, and you're probably thinking, where would they sit? I'm not sure. Amen. The Spearmans, pray for them. The Eddies, the Brinsfields. I believe Sister Amanda Winland is in Texas. The Gonzalez family is still in Mexico. I think they're coming home this week. Holly Keys and the girls are in Louisiana. And there's different ones. Some of them are already gone on spring break. We have a very special service tomorrow night, spring break week. Brother Kelly Holland will be here preaching for us. Amen. We're excited about that. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, be here. There'll be no service Wednesday. Of course, the church is always open for prayer, and it would be awesome if there was 100 people here Wednesday night praying. Amen. Praise God. So good to have the Salinas, extra Salinas is here. Amen. God bless them. Amen. Praise God. And I got one more piece of paper somewhere. Praise God. Sister Borner does such a great job at trying her best to keep me organized. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Maggie, it's good to have you here with Audrey. God bless y'all. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank the Lord. It's good to see Hope again. Sister Tana, sister, God bless you. Thank you for being here. Amen. Praise God. Ain't God good to us? Amen. It's always good to have Brother Tim. He's here helping us with the floor. And appreciate him. I say helping us, we're helping him maybe, trying to do a little bit of it for him. But ain't God good to us? Praise God. Well, if you got your Bible, Jeremiah 32 and 17, I'm going to attempt to preach the second half or part of what I began to preach Wednesday night. So I thought it'd probably be best to change the title so I get to preach a while. Amen. Thank the Lord for Amen. His word. Amen. Thank God. We are begotten by the word. I love the singing. Boy, wasn't that anointed, powerful stuff this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. The music is there and the singing is there and the anointing is there to soften up that heart so the word of God can fall on fertile ground. Amen. Thank the Lord. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing, everybody say, there's nothing. There is nothing too hard for thee. Amen. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Everybody say, there's nothing too hard. And I want to preach to you what I began to preach Wednesday night. Amen. I want to preach about God's resume. Amen. God's resume. Set your Bible down and lift your hands to the Lord together. Lift your voices to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done, for all the blessings that you have given to us. Hallelujah. I praise you in this house. Thank you in this house. Come on, why don't you join up with somebody? If it's appropriate next to you, let's pray together for a moment. Hallelujah, we love you, God. Hallelujah, we love you, God. We praise you, God. We thank you, Jesus. You have been faithful to this church. You have been so good to us. Hallelujah. Now in a way of worship, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank the Lord. You can be seated. Amen. I want to preach about God's resume. Everybody say, God's resume. I began Wednesday night to preach, is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. If I could ever get people's minds to believing that there is nothing too hard for the Lord, amen, you're going to see great revival in your family, and you're going to see God use you in a powerful way. Amen. Praise God. And what you got to do is you got to wake up every day and you got to rebuke all the doubt. Amen. We live in a world that doubts everything. They don't believe anything. Of course, I don't know if I blame them listening to politicians for hundreds of years tell the same lies and they're going to fix everything and nobody does anything. You can understand why we live in a world full of doubt. Amen. But God ain't a politician. He's not a man that he could lie. Amen. Praise God. He's the God that created everything. So Jeremiah, he would have the right answer. Amen. When the question was asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? He would say, no. Amen. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. I want to talk a little while. This is just how God deals with my brain. Maybe it's elementary. Hopefully we can just say it's a parable, get you to think about something earthly. Amen. Help you understand something heavenly. Amen. A concept. And I want to talk about his resume. Amen. What it would look like if God had one. Amen. Not that he needs a resume, but I want to talk about what it would look like if he did have one. Amen. A resume is something that you fill out and you hand in to potential employers. And what you do, you begin to list your skills and you begin to list your experiences and the things that you know best and the things that you have seen and done and experience and qualifications and all this stuff. Amen. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to get permission to fill a role or a position that someone has available. Amen. You want to fill a role or a position. And I just want to tell you from the outset that nobody is as qualified as God to fill the things that are in your life. Hallelujah. In studying resumes, I don't know if I've ever filled one out because I've always worked for myself and I always just had to look in the mirror and say, will you hire this guy? Amen. And so anyway, I began to study resumes and one of the major things that they're looking for is consistency. Everybody say consistency. That means they're looking for somebody that is the same every day. Amen. There's nothing shaking in them. They're just, they wake up every day and they're exactly the same. When they began to read your resume, they don't want to look and see that you worked 1 year and then you didn't work the next 3 years, and then you went back to work and then you quit the work and then you started back and then you quit. And so when they look at that, and I'm saying they because this is what I read, I don't know. But they look at this and they say, I may or may not want this person because they are not consistent. Amen. I began to think when the Lord began to deal with me, if God had a resume, one of the greatest attributes on his resume would be that he is the same. Hallelujah. Just in case you're wanting to sign up to live for Jesus or let him into your life, I want to tell you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And when he would write that down on his resume, he would say, reference Hebrews 13 and 8. Only God is allowed to do that. Amen. If he were to continue, he would say, also, I would like to reference Psalms 119 and 89, which says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Amen. Meaning that generations ago, they didn't have a different God than what we got right now. He wasn't better to them than he is to us. He wasn't worse to them than he is to us. He's no respecter of persons. His faithfulness is unto all people. I love people like that. What you see is what you get. You know what to expect. I think that may be one reason I love living for God. I don't have to tiptoe in the church figuring out what he's going to like or what he's not going to like. What he liked a long time ago is what he likes right now. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And maybe if you'd ever broke the relationship with God and you come back months later, maybe years later, you're going to find the exact same God that you left. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. His mercy is going to be the same as it was when you left him a long time ago. His mercy is new every morning, but his righteousness ain't going to change either. And what he expects out of people ain't going to change either. You can't wait and wait and wait and think it's going to get easier and easier the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. No, if you're going to make it to heaven, it's going to be just like the last generation did. Come on, if we want revival like they had, we're going to have to do what they did. If we want the gifts of the Spirit to operate like they did, we're going to have to do like they did. If we want healing virtue to flow, we're going to have to do like they did. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ain't it comforting to know he's the same? Hallelujah. Amen. He don't wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Hallelujah. He don't go to sleep early. Praise God. If you're praying in the morning, he's here. If you're praying at lunchtime, he's here. Amen. If you walk in at midnight and clock in and pray, you're going to find God in the house. He's just consistent. I said he's consistent. When people pray, he's going to open up his ears and he's going to start listening. When people begin to talk about their troubles and their trials, he's going to be moved by the feelings of our infirmities. He don't get tired of hearing his people talk. He don't get tired of hearing you pray. He don't get tired of seeing you getting a breakthrough. He don't get tired of you shouting up and down the aisles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And the best day of your life is going to be the day you let God in. Not halfway, not partway, but all the way in. Hallelujah. You can't hang out in the middle of the Euphrates River. Amen. Abraham, God's calling you all the way across. Amen. You got to come out of her. You may have to let some kin folks go. You may have to let some old friends go. You are going to have to let some old habits go. You are going to have to let some old mindsets go. Amen. Whatever it takes. But when you get to the other side, you're going to find a fair and a faithful and a just God that don't care what your last name is. Don't care what side of the tracks you came from, what your language is, what mistakes you made. That's why the Bible says he commanded men everywhere to repent. Not just the good sinners, but the bad sinners. The good, the bad, the hiding, the fake, the real, the facades. He wants everybody to repent. What do you got to repent of? Everything that would hold you back from living for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. When you let God start working for you, your life is about to change. Amen. Some people, they get so excited about things. They try to work for God. Amen. They try to help him out. Amen. He may want us to help him out sometimes. Amen. But there's a lot of people that just need to learn how to get your hands off of it. Amen. Praise God. I want to tell you, there's a whole lot of things in your life that God is way more qualified to handle than you are. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of things happen in the church that God is way more qualified to handle than you are. Hey man, be careful putting your finger on people. Be careful speaking things into people's head. Be careful trying to use the gifts of the Spirit. Hey man, unless you're qualified, unless you know absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's God speaking through you. Be careful. There's somebody way more qualified than us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It's like every life is it's a book. Amen. And some people are on chapter one. And some people are almost to the last chapter. And some people are quick learners. And some people ain't so quick. Amen. You can't make people go faster. You just got to love them all the way. Amen. We got to teach them. Amen. We got to love them. We got to show them. But at the end of the day, it's people got to allow God into their own life. It's people that's got to allow. God, I'm going to let you feel this role in my life. I'm going to let you feel this position in my life. Amen. I've had people straighten other people out in the church. Amen. And tell them how to dress and how to act and all the garbage. Amen. And I understand people's intentions. And I understand people want to help people get to the final chapter. But at the end of the day, we don't want to destroy people. Amen. When somebody's born again, it's like a tender plant. Amen. There's only so many things you can do to a tender plant. Sometimes you just got to let things grow. And amen, you're going to harm the plant if you ain't careful. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. I want to take thousands of people to heaven with me. Amen. I don't want to take 10 because we tried to chop down the other 900. Hey, let's be wise. Only people can allow God to take that role in their life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In the federal government, it goes like this. If you applied for a job in the federal government, it'd go like this. You would either be something they call best qualified, BQ, or you could be high qualified, or you could be well qualified, or you could be minimally qualified, or you could be not qualified. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord's been dealing with me. Amen. Make sure when you allow people into your life to fill certain roles, make sure they're BQs. Hallelujah. Well, how do I know? I'll tell you how you know. You ought to get some of that discernment he was talking about this morning. I'll tell you, if they ain't praying, they ain't qualified for any role in your life. Hallelujah. I hope this goes over good. I don't want anybody that's not praying to fill any role or position in my life. If they are spectators instead of participators, they're not qualified to have a position in your life. Well, it might get good, it might not get good. I'm not sure. I'm trying to help somebody out in this house. Hallelujah. If they are dividers instead of unifiers, they're not qualified to have any role or any position in your life. Blessed are the peacemakers. Come on, God told us who to let into our life. Hallelujah. Praise God. We get one shot. We don't get nine lives. We get one little short life. I used to think life is so long. And now I'm the big 5-0. And I'm thinking I should be the big 2-0 or something. And it's just like, pow. This means more to me today than it ever did when I was a teenager. We get one shot at this thing. We're either going to make it to heaven, oh, we're going to be lost. And it makes all the difference who you allow into your life. I'm not saying be mean to people. I love everybody and everybody loves me. But if you ain't praying and you don't love people, you're not going to get in my ear and mess my mind up. You're not going to mess my heart up. You're not going to mess my spirit up. I'll walk away. I'll hang up the phone. I'll get an emergency call. I'll do something. Amen. Don't tell me. People don't affect people. I've had preachers affect me before. There are preachers. I'm not going to sit down and talk to you for an hour. Because when I get up, I feel crummy or something. I don't know the word, but slimy or like I need to go back to prayer meeting. Amen. If I have to feel like that after I hang out with somebody, I'm not going to hang out with somebody. Hello, you got to figure out who's qualified to speak into your life and who ain't qualified. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm preaching about God's resume. Hallelujah. There have been so many people. amen, who messed up a whole lot of stuff because they let people into their life that they should not have let in. Hallelujah. Well, I just needed someone to talk to. I just needed a friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody needs friends. I got a few myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I can I just get real honest with you? Amen. You need to be careful who you open up your heart to. Hallelujah. It ain't really, I would say, anybody's business where you came from, every struggle of your life. Amen. They may pose as a friend, but let me tell you, there's very few people who are qualified to listen to your struggles. Hey, I'm trying to protect somebody. Amen. Some people think the more beans you spill, the more honest you are. I would say the least intelligent you are. So what happens is people that you think are your friend and you tell them every dumb thing you've ever done in your life. Amen. About a few weeks later and they're mad at you. Well, it's kind of quiet in here. Let me turn around and preach a while. Hey, man, if, you know what they got? They got a lot of stuff that they could twist just a little bit. God forbid. Hey, there's people in this church, you know things about other people. And I'm telling you, in the fear of God, we're going to give a report and an account for every idle word that we speak. And if you would speak ill will of someone with an intent to harm them or to cast a shadow on them or to make people not like them, you're in trouble with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But it's just, it's the natural tendency of people to just think, well, we're better friends if I tell them every dumb thing I did. That don't make you better friends. Amen. That makes you more vulnerable, what it does. Amen. You may have friends you could tell. Well, I'm getting some looks right now. Amen. Amen. You may have some friends that'll carry it to the grave with them. Amen. But not all people are there for your good. And they're not all there to help you. Amen. They may sit on the pew with you, but don't. There's a whole lot of conversation needs to be. Hey, you know what? God sure is good. What do you think about that music this morning? What do you think about that Bible study? Hey, God healed me this week. Hey, what do you think about that solar eclipse? Whatever you want to talk about, be careful. Well, I'm on to something. Why are you on this? Because there's a lot of people. Amen. They may be. Somebody's horn honking. Praise God. Everybody click your clicker real fast. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like y'all needed a little relief right then anyway. It's getting a little tight in here. Praise God. Still honking. Is that you, Sister Alicia? It's right by the door. Amen. It's on that side. Praise God. Amen. Maybe I ain't preaching loud enough. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of people that just needed a friend. You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's the devil or happenstance or circumstance or whatever. But, amen, they just feel like, well, we ended up at the same restaurant. Amen. So we just started talking. And I told them what an idiot I was. And, amen, everything that I'd ever done. But, you know, we talked for a little while first. And I told them, hey, this is in confidence, right? Yeah, so I know nobody else is ever going to find this out. Amen. Because we agreed, first of all. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not trying to tell you how to operate with your friends. I'm just preaching. Amen. You ain't got to listen to me. I'm just, I'm just trying to help you down the road when you get their pew. You take their chair or their parking spot or, amen, hallelujah. And all of a sudden they used to love you. Amen, all of a sudden it ain't like it was. Amen, it's that Cain and Abel. You know, they used to be brothers. And all of a sudden he sees him come. Why is your countenance falling? Amen, I thought we was brothers. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden they begin to tell somebody else about not only that you took their parking spot, but who you really are. But it ain't just one story. It's always better if you add a few things to it. Well, it's getting tight in here. Amen. I don't even know who I'm preaching to. Maybe somebody on the internet or probably somebody in Alaska watching service this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Be careful. And they've opened up their heart to people that weren't qualified to handle your heart. You know, on earth, humanity, there's very few BQs that you need to talk to about stuff like that. Amen. Talk to them about gardening and, amen, and sowing and deer hunting and catching fish and, amen. Very few BQs when it comes to who you used to be. Amen. If you need to talk to your pastor, talk to your pastor. Amen. If I don't get raptured out of here, there's going to be so many things. When they close that lid, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff get closed in there. Amen. And there'll be a whole lot forgotten too. So you're double safe with me. Praise God. Amen. I just had somebody come to me not long ago. Remember, he said, remember what we talked about last week? I really don't know. And I had these big eyes like, Praise God. Amen. Tell me again. Amen. Talk to your pastor's wife. Talk to your spouse. That's your best friend. Boy, I said that's your best friend. Your best friend ain't your fishing buddy. And it ain't your shopping buddy. It's your spouse. It's the one God puts you with. Amen. If you can't trust them, come tell me. I'll get on them. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'll tell you who the BQ is. The best qualified. Hallelujah. When you feel like a total loser. When the devil's on your shoulder reminding you every stupid thing you ever done. Every dumb decision. And you feel like you can't keep it in. Let me tell you who the real BQ is. You know what I like to do when I feel like a total loser? I like to put on my shoes and go to church and get underneath the pew and let the one that sticketh closer than a brother, I like to tell him all about it and let him tell me, get up, boy. I've already forgiven you. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. What I love about prayer is when you're feeling down, you can talk to God. He ain't gonna repeat anything. He ain't gonna use your past to hurt you. Well, take this whole world. Just give me some more Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I don't, it may not get very much better. Amen. Everybody say, he's the best qualified. Amen. He can feel voids in your life that nobody else can feel. He can bring peace and joy when you could talk to somebody 24 hours and man don't have the words to fix you like God can fix you. My Bible said he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Amen. You know what? You got to learn where to run to. Amen. In the time of my trouble, David said, I'm going to run to that pavilion. I'm going to hide. I'm going to get under the shadow of his wings. I'm going to get in that strong tower. Don't get on the phones.
Hey, Bubba. I'm having a bad day. The devil's beating me up. Well, what's wrong? Well, you remember when I was 17? And I did all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, thank you for telling me that. I forgot. Yeah. What right do they have? They were just like everybody else. I know him. I know her. Praise God. Boy, this is getting... I know a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Praise God. You ought to be more concerned about the current spiritual state of people than you are about where they came from. Well, hallelujah. You ought to get more excited hearing about where they're at right now, breakthrough, than where they come from and the mistakes that they made. Hallelujah. Praise God. Only God is the best qualified. He's got the greatest resume. Amen. I'm going to try not to preach a long time, but I got a little bit to preach. Hallelujah. Can you imagine two men applying for a job as a weather reporter? And one of them, on his resume, it says, I've studied the jet streams and the atmospheric pressures, and I can just about tell you what the weather's going to do. And another one writes on his resume, I tell the wind and sea what to do. Why would you turn to man for anything? Two men trying to apply for a job at NASA. One of them says, I got a degree in astronomy. And I can name all the stars in the closest galaxies or whatever. I don't know. And the other guy's resume said, I made the stars. I'm trying to help somebody in this. Don't allow minimally qualified people to fill roles in your life that the best qualified one wants to feel anyway. Hallelujah. There's no resume like God's resume. This Bible tells us his accomplishments and his achievements. The Bible said God is a creator. In the beginning, God, everybody say, created. God created the heaven and the earth. Somebody said, I need something. I need something so bad. And they start looking for men. All men have is little connections. And maybe they could pull a favor here and there. Amen. But God is the one that created everything. There's a couple guys that needed to pay their taxes one day. And the creator says, go down there and throw out your hook and grab the first fish, open his mouth, you're going to find a coin in there. Pay your taxes, pay my taxes. Where did that coin come from? I don't think back in those days they threw coins in the water. They were all precious. God created something. God's resume, if he had one, would say, I'm a healer. I heal people's hearts. I heal their bodies. I heal their minds. I heal their souls. Surely he hath borne our griefs. That means he carried them away. He carried our sorrows. Hallelujah. I gave my life for people so they wouldn't have to pay for their sins. How many people could put that on the resume? I live such a spotless, perfect life that, amen, because of what I did, you can be free. That's not on anybody's resume. And the Bible said, with his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. If you began to read his resume, you wouldn't go down very long till you would find a paragraph that says, I'm a provider. Hallelujah. Reference Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you began to read on down, you would see that he's wonderful at taking messes and making beautiful things out of them. It's documented in Isaiah 61:3. He said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. I'm talking about people that life has beat them down. He said, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Praise God. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. If you read God's resume, you would see time and time again, example after example, where he took messes and turned them into beautiful things. Amen. The enemy would say, no, don't let him. You're too far gone. You're too much of a mess. I'm telling you, I've read this resume so many times. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You kept reading, you would see that he is our Savior. The Bible would say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Everybody say a Savior. You know what this world needs more than anything? A Savior. The televangelist ain't a Savior. The Democrat Party, for sure, are not saviors. But I'll tell you this, Donald Trump is not a savior. Hallelujah. There's one. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Only one could write it on his resume. I'm your savior. Begin to think about this resume. This is what John would say about it. He would say, there are also so many other things which Jesus did. Like he started reading and he thought, there's no way. He said, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Ain't God good? Amen. Stand together with me. If you could call this today God's resume. It's his word. Just let me tell my little story. Amen. If you could say this is the book that If you didn't know him before you read it, you'd kind of get to know him. And it would tell his experiences and tell what he was capable of doing. One of his disciples, his very last words was, "You know what? This is just a drop in the bucket to what he can really do." You may say, "Well, I've never found an exact story like mine." Well, I can promise you there is one. As John said, if there was enough ink and enough paper to write everything that Jesus both began and to do, I suppose all the books in the world wouldn't be able to contain all of his resume. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel the Lord. I feel like a salesman right now. I'm trying to sell you, open your understanding to more than a man, but to a Savior. Oftentimes when I'm preaching about baptism, I preach the reason we baptize in the name of Jesus instead of the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is because He has way more titles than that. I was thinking today about this wonderful title called the Comforter. Hallelujah. Man, he's described as a loving father, but more intimately, a comforter. Amen. When he would come in the Spirit, which the Bible would describe as the Holy Ghost. This gift that the book of Acts would describe, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues. Amen. The first church was all Spirit-filled. The church that God started, that's what he's going to come back looking for, is one just like he started. But the gift would be called the Comforter. Amen. Surely he knew that people would be abused. He knew that people would come in broken. People would be in relationships that were harmful and negative. People would be broken to pieces by the enemy. And he called this wonderful gift the Comforter. If there was anything on the resume that should resonate with our generation, it's that he's a comforter. Hallelujah. I don't know what you come in today battling with, struggling with, worried about, traumatized by, struggling with. And I want to tell you something. God's got a resume that'll cover every problem. Cover every shortcoming. Cover every weakness. Come on, let the church begin to cry out to Jesus. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Come on, he's meek and lowly. Come on, he won't refuse you. Come on, why don't you let mercy rejoice against judgment one more day? When we're not promised anything. We're not promised tomorrow. Oh, let mercy fill the void. Let the Comforter fill the void. Come on, he's a chain breaker. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't harden your heart as in the days of the provocation. Oh, but soften your heart. Come on, could you take a few moments and evaluate who you've been letting into your life? What positions you've allowed people into? It's affected you negatively. Come on, the best qualified one in all of creation is here today with open arms saying, let me be your friend. Let me be the one that you lean on. Let me be the one you talk to. Come on, I feel the gentle hands of God reaching down. Come on, let's turn it into a little prayer room. Hallelujah. Come on, you can walk out of here feeling so wonderful. You can walk out of here feeling the joy. Hallelujah. Come on, in the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on, let's talk to him for just a few moments. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.